Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets made their second big move of the offseason, signing forward Charlie Coyle to a 6-year, $36 million contract that runs through the 31-32 season. Coyle, who was set to be a free agent on July 1st, had 20 goals, 58 points for the CBJ in 82 games this season. The Cleveland Guardians continuing their series at Progressive Field with the Los Angeles Angels at 6-10. Slade Ciccone makes the start for the guards, Walbert Urena for the Halos. After an off day yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds start a home series with the Washington Nationals at 6:40. Brady Singer versus Miles Michaelis, the pitching matchup. You can catch that on the Fans HD3 at 6:10. The Reds on the HD3 because on the Fan 2 tonight we have Buckeye Baseball taking on Wright State at 6. This one's sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Try UDF's new ice cream quake flavors for the summer, only for a limited time.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All righty, here we go. Rando Tuesday style, Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman. Adam King of 10 TV and the loose cannon behind the glass.
What did Matty Ice eat? That's what I want to know.
That's inquiring minds do want to know.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's such a healthy eater, you wouldn't think that this would happen to this man. It has happened to him before.
It's devastating.
It is devastating, right? It really is.
I worry about him.
You did not get the sound effect applause for the fill-in guest. But Karp didn't get it either.
That's
all right.
Because we're not really fill-in guests. We're just, you know, we're part of the team. We step up. You don't give applause when the backup quarterback comes in, all right?
Really? That's everybody's clamoring for the backup.
The backup quarterback, that's his job. That's what he works every day for.
Boy, a high-paid backup. Now, that's good work if you can get it.
What a lot of people don't know is that I just sit at my desk and wait for someone to get food poisoning.
Help them get it.
That's right.
Somehow. All right. I mean, there's a lot of community food out there.
I gave Matty Ice the best taco he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never see him again. I can promise you that.
All righty. All right.
He wouldn't eat a tortilla.
Yes, he would eat maybe the just a bowl. Hold the tortilla. I was telling Bobby this story. We were talking about Matty and the food poisoning, or we think it's food poisoning. And Bobby said he's never missed a practice or never missed a game for being sick. But I told him, you know, you have access to getting IV'd there, and like Fish doesn't have that hookup back there.
Which is a little ridiculous.
It is. He probably should.
Yeah.
And so Bobby goes, you know, he's had to fill in for Matty when he's gotten sick, and he's had to fill in for me when I was sick. And so I was driving to Muirfield. This was, I don't know, this had to be 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I wasn't feeling well that morning, but it's the memorial. I'm going. It's not a lot that would keep me from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on 270, and it's just not right. Something's not right. And I exit off of Tuttle, and I go back to the Marriott, because when my dad used to come in years ago, we used to go there for the brunch. All right. And so
you just went to a random hotel and took their food?
Didn't take it. We paid for it.
Oh,
we ate there.
Not like
we weren't guests of the hotel.
That's what I'm saying. So
yeah, I think that's legal.
It's not a continental breakfast.
No. It was real brunch. A sit down in the restaurant.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay.
We didn't just go there and grab a couple bananas and leave.
We'll get back to that. Okay.
So I knew that place. I knew that there's a place there that I could go and feel comfortable in a lobby bathroom. And like things are starting to process.
Delightful.
And I can't even make it to the hotel.
Oh, no.
I pull off into some parking lot, and it's bad. Car doors open. I'm like you know, bent over the car. I'm like, I'm done. And I find a way to limp the car into the Marriott. And I just, I kind of stroll in there. And I, unbeknownst to me, some of the players do stay there at that Marriott.
Yeah.
Some rent homes, some are in hotels, other places, but that's close. It's in Dublin. And as I'm walking in, like pale, like completely like kind of limping in there, and here comes Lee Westwood.
Nice.
And Lee Westwood is walking past me. He goes, "You all right, mate?" I'm like, "Not really."
Nope.
"Not really. Thanks for asking." And hit the couch there, and that was it. That was the rest was history, and Bobby got the call. So that was my, and I think I got viral meningitis.
Oh, geez.
We believe from using the community sunscreen at the memorial in the media center.
That, but you know what? Duly noted, I'm bringing my own sunscreen. Who
knows? I'm just saying that's where I would know. I don't know the science of that, but that's my guess.
Okay. So let me ask you a question here. Get off and running. How many days in a row do you think you could visit a Continental Hotel breakfast that you are not staying at? You know, the free one where you get the waffle and the...
That's not Continental.
What is it? What is... I'm sorry.
The, I mean...
What's the free breakfast?
Yeah, like the free buffet at a Hampton Inn or something like that, where you walk in, it's right off the lobby.
How many days in a row could you go before they figured out you weren't a guest of the hotel?
Boy, that would not be something I would try to do. I would feel very uncomfortable waiting.
That's not a part of the
anxiety.
Question.
I know, I'm thinking it through.
I don't want your character called into question.
I'm thinking it through.
Because I think...
All right, here's what I could do.
Okay.
There's two things you have to do. One, you've got to show up in the right attire.
Yeah.
Kind of like sleep attire, shorts, t-shirt. You know how these people come down from their rooms to go to those breakfasts. And then when you go in, you have to act as if I'm staying there. You might have to take an elevator ride.
That's a good call.
You might have to go in.
Go up and then come back down.
I would go up. I'd walk a hallway, do a little bit of a... loitering up there.
Nice.
Not great. Not a great idea, but act as if you're, you know, maybe I got off at the wrong floor and then deflect and distract and then come down and then go. I think I could probably pull that off. Now, they're going to see the same. I mean, if it's the same people who work there, I would say you could probably pull that off for three straight days.
I think I could do it for 8 days. Without them noticing. I think after about the ninth day, they'd be like, I don't think that guy's staying here.
Through an entire week, weekend.
Yeah. And then I'll add to that question for you. How many people, and this is an interesting one, you are staying at the hotel, all right? You and Cole are staying at the hotel, but you got buddies in town. How many people do you think you can invite to the breakfast to join you? Without it being, because I think like, oh, mom stops in, like, oh yeah, mom, they're not going to be
being comfortable. One,
yeah, I think you could invite four.
Me plus four.
Yeah, I think you could
make it a family affair.
Yeah, get a whole table going. Cole, your thoughts?
First of all, 12:08. Second of all, I do think that you have to bring in a family. You can't bring in your friends. If it's just you and a bunch of your boys, it'd be like. Hey, I don't remember a bunch of...
That's a good point.
You know, dudes of the same age all sharing a hotel room together. I don't remember this crew. So if you blend in like a family, I think you can extend that a lot further.
I just like to sit with a random family. That'll get me through.
Oh, what if every day? You could probably extend it even further if every day you're just connecting with a new group of people.
Somewhere close, adjacent to a family.
Yeah,
just start asking them how their day is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you try this?
I'm pretty sure it's a crime. But
you'd be stealing food and trespassing.
That's you're the one
maybe
that added,
they would drop the thief part of it.
I wasn't going to loiter. Now I got to go upstairs, knock on some doors. Oh, sorry, I thought this was my room. Go back down.
What do you say, by the way, when they come up to you? What, do you just got to own it?
I think you say.
I'm a thief?
No, I think you say, I'm sorry. I thought this breakfast was for everyone.
Just a walk-in. Come as you are.
All right. Oh, really? You're going to arrest me over these Fruit Loops that are stale? You're going to come out? They've been
you
in
were
that
talking
tube.
About being at the Belgian waffle maker.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to commit that crime and not make my own waffle. Do the little flipsy doodle. You know, I mean, it's
because who in their right mind would fake staying at the hotel and have like a 5-course breakfast?
You
got to act the whole thing through.
That's right.
All right.
And I also wonder. Last question on this topic. You guys ever go to an actual, like, you stay at a resort, you go down and you have your breakfast, and then they're like, here's your bill, you know, Mr. King, and you're like, okay, you put your room number down and you sign it.
No.
Now, my point is, what is stopping somebody from just writing a random room number down, signing that thing, and walking out? All I'm saying is, we need more security at these resorts. Because
it's, you said you're staying at the resort.
Yes, though. But I'm saying, you don't know that. I could say I was in room.
Oh, you're saying if you're fake staying at a resort, you go, all right, charge it to the room.
Yeah, charge it to the room. 318.
I'm sure that's happened.
I don't think they have a picture on their computer that's like, well, this is Mr. King. Make sure we give it to Mr. King.
I don't know what their protocol is. I don't know what their security measures are on that.
And we need to get it figured out.
Would it be a problem if you knew somebody staying at a hotel and you just joined them for their free breakfast?
That's what we were talking about.
I know, but like, how can you prove, hey, like, okay, you're staying here and you're just here just for breakfast. Like, all that matters is, hey, I'm with so-and-so from room such and such.
They can't prove that if you stayed over the night before.
I don't think that you're free.
What do you care who's paying for the room? It's just, we're all a part of that room. It just so happens I'm staying at my house.
Yes, but I don't think that your free breakfast when you check in at the local Fairfield Inn comes with, like, plus ones. Like, I don't think they're... I think if there's two people in the room, the two people that stay in the room
get
the breakfast.
This happens all the time, and I'm sure that it's fairly loose. And until it gets to a crazy point, Mr. 8 days and nine, whatever he's staying.
8 days and nine nights.
Yeah, whatever, 9 nights, 8 days, whatever. Four truths and a lie. Yeah. I feel like until it gets to that level, because I've gone out of town and stayed at hotels for, like, games or whatever, and... You know, somebody isn't staying at that hotel, but we're going to meet at that hotel and we'll meet for breakfast and they come in and sit with you and, oh, go have a muffin. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's
fine. And those
fine.
Hotels aren't, they're not worried about
anything.
They're not worried about that as long as somebody at that table is staying at the hotel.
Yeah, and if you think about it,
what I'm saying is, tomorrow morning, we get up and go test this at a local Fairfield Inn. Three of us just have a beautiful lunch and a beautiful breakfast. And if they say, who do you know that's staying here? We say fish and we walk out. Right.
We sign it.
That's how I put it on fish tabs and shoot him a wink and just walk out like I know what I'm doing.
All right.
I'll try this for the show.
We grab all of the boxes, like the little tiny boxes of the cereal that's already pre, and just walk out.
I won't get arrested, will I? I'll do it for the show.
I mean, you could
if
get
they
arrested.
Want to press charges,
it's illegal.
They can.
I mean, can't we
they
just, might like, just throw them a $20 bill and say, hey, this covers my food?
You mean afterward?
Yeah.
Well, that's like shoplifting and getting past the point of sale and then saying, oh, I'll pay for it now.
Yeah.
It's like, that's also, not.
I thought we paid at the door.
Giving back the food.
Yeah, we say.
Well, I like that argument. I like the argument, though, Cole. You get caught like, and you say, oh, I was waiting. I was waiting for you to give me my tab.
What Cole is saying is that he's probably bought his way out of many problems, and this would just be another one.
We just treat it like a restaurant. Oh, I was just waiting for my bill to come.
Hey, some of us don't have the kind of money that you make to just throw money around when we get caught, all right? You can't just throw money at all.
You can't buy your way out of this one, TLC.
Mm-hmm.
You can try. All right, if you want to do it. I mean, the bottom line is you probably get... The one thing they would say is, okay, we're going to trespass you.
Come back
1 year.
One year.
No soup for you.
No.
Come back 1 year.
The soup Nazi.
All right.
Great episode.
We'll get into the show today. We've got expectations for Ohio State set by a certain player. And is this a classic overpay or a job well done? We'll get to it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Big voice guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good days, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine for us today and warmer as highs get in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, rain and storms develop overnight. Some could have heavy downpours and gusty winds with lows in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, the rain should end by the time you're heading to work and taking the kids to school. Cloudy to start with mostly sunny skies in the afternoon and highs near 70 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
T-Bone and Tyvis are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, there are some priorities certainly for the Blue Jackets this season. And my guess is this was Big Don's top one. Now, I remember talking about this team and what they've done and what they did. And they had such a long journey to climb out of that hole that they put themselves in. So it's kind of, it was the collapse at the end was an organizational failure. They'd all own parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't put this on Rick Bonus because he's the one that had to rescue it and almost got it all the way there. And I remember talking about the nuance of how they never really went on a losing streak, and then they did it the worst time, and then you add the pressure of that time knowing you didn't have enough time to get out of it. And so that's a lot. And it wasn't to excuse it. I never excused the collapse. I always said, you can't lose your way in. That wasn't going to happen. But when teams like the Blue Jackets are set up the way they are, my gut tells me that this signing with Charlie Coyle, who, by the way, I love this guy. There's nobody would ever tell you that you're not getting what you're paying for with his leadership, who he's going to be in the room, his durability, everything he brings to the table. This was a great addition when they got him, and I understand why you'd want to keep him.
I think that this is more so a signal from Don Waddell and Rick Bonus that we are not in any world going to, we're building on last year, and we can't take four steps back before doing that. I think there are a lot of franchises, I think we've seen the Blue Jackets do it quite a few times, where you have a great season, you say next year we're going to get there, but then in the offseason you let pieces walk, you let things crumble, and you can't do that. And so this was them saying, whatever it takes, we're going to get one of those key pieces back. We're going to make sure Charlie Coyle's on the ice for us next year. Now you kind of piece it together. Maybe you go out and find somebody still in free agency. But otherwise, you at least still have the pieces that showed at their top, they can be incredibly, incredibly good. At their worst, they got a lot to figure out.
They're close in their minds. So to your point, these aren't the guys you can really afford to let walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem they're in. Now, the other thing I would tell you is that 6 years is too many. It's just too many for a guy of his age. And they know it. But I think he had some leverage on them from the stuff we're talking about, which is what he's provided to this team. He's a perfect third line center.
Okay, let me ask you this. You ever play Dynasty Fantasy, where fantasy football?
The keepers?
Yeah.
Not a big keeper league guy.
Okay, so I like that. And you can trade out picks like 5 years in advance and all that stuff in my leagues. My long, all that's to say, that's 6 years from now's problem, all right? Don Waddell can figure that out in 4 years. Right now, they're focused on next year. Because you know what doesn't hurt as much? If you make the playoffs next year and you look good, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in 2032 about Charlie Coyle?
This is a classic case of where people believe this is negative. And I don't completely. I think this is a good signing. He's a guy I'd want. I think most people would want him because he checks all those boxes I talked about. And if he's a second line center or a third line center and you love him in the room and he's durable and you know you can count on him, then he's the guy you want to have. I think you're dead on right. Because I think in 4 years, he's now Boone Jenner.
And you know what?
But he's making $6 million, so that's a problem. But guess what? Today was about getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And today was about, does Charlie Coyle want to be in Columbus? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can answer that question. Is he my top priority? Yes. Now it's done. I got him. Think about this. Most GMs do have to think of the future, and I don't want to put this guy out to pasture, but you got a 71-year-old head coach and a 67-year-old GM. And I'm telling you what, if in 6 years one of them is here, I'll be surprised.
But it's almost, I almost think that's the best case scenario for Blue Jackets fans, because if you're Rick Bonus, the only reason you come back is to sit in that room with Don Waddell and say, let's go on, let's go do something.
Well, not only that, what does he care whether Charlie Coyle is making $6 million at the age of 40? He doesn't care.
He's going to be on a boat.
He won't be here.
He's going to be back on his boat.
What makes my team better? I guarantee Bonus said, and I don't think Don was opposed to this.
No.
We're signing him. Now, would I have overpaid him for a shorter term? Of course I would have. I absolutely would have. But I don't think they had the leverage to do that.
But you build in now a little bit extra money to play with here.
They have extra money, by the way.
I understand, yeah. But every dollar counts.
And the cap's going to go up, keep going up, and it's fine. But he's a beast. I like him a lot.
I love it.
But he's not going to get any faster.
I think
that doesn't happen.
More so than the actual contract, more so than, you know, getting Charlie Coyle back. When this hit my inbox this morning, my first thought was, here you go. This is a franchise that and you actually just, if you're a Blue Jackets fan, what you just said is kind of exciting. It's the idea that these are two guys that are not trying to build out something. You know, Rick Bonus and Don Waddell aren't sitting here talking about 5 years from now. They're talking about next year. And that's what you want. There's no trust the process in Columbus right now.
Well, by the way, you're going to really like most likely the first 3-4 years of this contract.
Yeah.
This is only on the back end. The last 2 years, you're probably not going to like.
Which is, how it is with it. Think about when they signed Cole, okay? First year, you're like, okay, this could be good.
Now Ian Cole or this Cole?
This Cole. Now you're locked into a contract that you can't get out of. And it's frustrating. Yeah. But
I'm an albatross.
That's why we need a tag in radio.
I like it.
Yeah, we had that conversation. That's all this is. He's really made the most of his time here. I really like him as a player, as a person. He's a leader, and he's durable. And if this is the next GM's problem, so be it. That's fine. If he's the next head coach's deal when he's 39, 40 years old, making $6 million bucks, is it a little bit of it's an overdone thing on term, because now Charlie doesn't have to worry about anything. I want to be here. I want term. I want the money. And here we go. And they sign him. And by the way, he's not that easily replaceable. He really isn't. He's got cap space. Don does. And there are certain things when you're an organization like the Blue Jackets that you have to do. Mm-hmm. This is one of them. We went through the same thing with Provorov. That's even probably worse when it comes to overpay in term. But if he walked, if you let him walk, then I would ask you, so you're willing to reset again. And then the other part about this, and we've talked about it, is, all right, so you let him walk. So now you got to decide, what can I get? Who can we get, and what is he going to cost?
Yeah.
And can we get him?
And is he going to be worth it? Yeah. Does that solve your 6 year from now problem?
Yeah.
You can't guarantee that with anybody.
Yeah. The only difference is you're trying to re-sign a team that missed the playoffs.
Yes,
they were close, but you're re-signing a team that missed the playoffs.
But I think that when you saw this Jackets team at its peak, they look like a playoff team.
They're bigger, which is good. They need a little more in the back end, and
I also think that you're giving Rick Bonus an offseason and really putting it into him to see what this looks like for a full year. And you're saying
he did the job.
He did.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, okay, these are the guys that with half a year you got right on the cusp of the playoffs.
I'm with you. If you want this team to take a next step, then it's Bones.
Yeah.
I get that. Full year. By the way, he came in a very hard situation and they made the most of it. That was my point after. Like, no one was giving them any credit for climbing out of that hole. That was okay, I know it's a results-based business, but they battled their butts off to get to that point, and it collapsed at the end. But the other thing you have to reconsider is, you think that you can't really be a worse team because Florida's coming back, no doubt. New Jersey's going to be better. Toronto, the Caps, the Rangers. Those teams aren't going to just wallow and sit around being bad. Like, this was the year to actually get in because it was a little more wide open. But what does better really look like? Like, that's the thing. So you almost have to sign these guys. They're good guys. They still lack serious star power, like serious star power. And they need some game breakers. And that's when it comes to drafting and developing and trying to add when you can. But like I said, you've got a GM and a coach who are on the back ends of their career. And this keeps this team very competitive. But I'm telling you, 4 years into it, he's now Boone Jenner. And Boone's fine. Boone is a very, how should I put this? Everybody would want him at the right price. I've got no problem with that. But he's a fourth line guy. Everybody knows that. Here's the good news. This team has grown past him.
And that's and you saw it happen in real time last year.
Yeah.
Which was,
he'll get a deal. He's a depth guy now. They know that. But you also have to know with a guy like that, you're probably getting 60 games a year, not 82.
Yeah.
And with Charlie Coyle, when I first started talking about this, it was like, ooh, 6 years, $7 million, something like that. No, but he's a beast, third line centerman.
Well, we talked you down here.
But now he's 6x6, and for the first 4 years, I hope that you're just absolutely loving
him. He's 6'3", by the way, not 6'6".
Yeah. On skates.
That's right.
He might be 6'6".
There you go.
All right, we're going to come back 2 minutes, and Julian Sain sets expectations. We'll define that next. Rothman.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Kills.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Truth of the matter is, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
Truth is, Anthony realized when he's working with Adam King, it was going to be a while. All right, let's talk about this expectation. And so this was from On Three, and Julian Sain dropped the line to On Three that the standard at Ohio State is to win every game. So let's dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't know how many programs can truly say that, because there's a fine line. There's a difference between a goal and an expectation. And I think what Julian Sain is saying is that that's an expectation, not a goal. Is that what you're getting out of when he says the standard is to win every game?
100%.
Yeah.
That it's not even, you can't lose. One of my favorite things that...
You can, though.
But no. I mean...
What does that mean, you can't? We saw them lose and still win a title.
Yes, but the more so the area around the program, the air around the program, I should say, and the fan base. I like what Ryan Day says a lot. You think that every game doesn't matter around here? Try losing one. Because you're going to tell me that after that Michigan game in 2024, it didn't feel like, not that the sky was falling. The sky had fallen. It was on the, like, it was a disaster. Everybody, it was insane.
It also had the cumulative effect as well.
Was that a pun?
No.
Oh, I thought that was a cloud pun because I said the sky is falling. You said cumulative.
Oh, that's no. Thanks. Now that was a pretty good observation off of my lack of punness.
I thought it was a great pun. You should have leaned into it.
I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that the standard to win every game is an expectation, but you also have to remember they're probably going to be favored in 90% of their games.
They're probably going to be favored in all.
They're not. Are they favored at Texas?
That was the only one I was thinking, and only think because so, right? It's are they on like a the road. Yeah. It's probably a pick 'em, and they probably gave Texas. Let's look. It right now, I don't know if they.
No, there's definitely a look ahead line.
2.5. So it's a pick 'em.
Texas by 2.5.
Yeah.
So neutral field, it'd be a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em. Yep.
All right. So, and I'm not, listen, I love the fact he said
actually,
it because.
What is our sponsor here? on this show.
We're a free agent.
We're a free agent.
At this point.
DraftKings has Ohio State favored 1.5. So there you
really?
Go.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, essentially, it's a coin flip game.
Okay.
And so when he says the standard is to win every game, I get that. But I don't go as far as saying they're not allowed to lose. They are allowed to lose. It's just how they react to losing, how they respond to losing. Now, when you lose, it puts a lot more pressure on trying to rescue a seed or a season or whatever it may be. But the way college football is set up now, you can lose a game. In fact, you could even make the case that if you lost early, it might actually help you eventually. You're not protecting the goose egg. You don't have to have a perfect season. People in November aren't talking about your perfect season anymore. And all they're talking about is results and winning. I always thought that affected Oregon that year where they were undefeated. And I actually thought it was going to affect Indiana as the only unbeaten. Like, that's very difficult. I think even Buckeye fan would admit, very difficult to go undefeated.
Yeah.
Especially in this era where you're not just launching from your regular season into a championship game. Like, there's a playoff. So, you know, it's interesting to me just because the expectation is not a goal, and there are very few programs that can say this, that can drop that line.
So it's interesting. I don't think that you can say that at Oregon. I don't think you could say that. This is maybe the only other one right now is Georgia.
You're saying that there is a difference, and some teams would have to say our goal is to win every game.
Yeah.
And some programs would say our expectation or our standard is to win every game.
I would say Georgia would say that. Notre Dame, I don't think you can say that right now. I mean, Notre Dame, their goal is to win every game, but their expectation certainly isn't there.
Let's change the topic then. How many teams actually believe that they can win every game?
Every year is what you're talking about. Not just this year.
Just when they line up that they have a in their mind saying, we should win today.
Oh, that's different. That should be every team that ever takes a field.
No.
Yeah, but it's not realistic, yes, though. I'm talking about the realistic part of it.
So
every team can go in 0-0 and say, or every team can take the field every Saturday and say, we've prepared to win, we feel we should win, we're coached well, we're healthy, and we should win tonight.
I got your question. Your question is, what teams would you argue would be the guaranteed favorite in every game they played?
Year to year a little bit.
99.9% of games. I would say Ohio State is that. I would say Georgia is that right now. I don't know that Notre Dame is there.
It's year to year, but Notre Dame will be favored in every game they play this year, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at their schedule.
Texas.
Yeah.
Texas might be there, and I think that's where the list stops.
Yeah. Oregon won't be favored here.
No.
Outside, and this is all hypothetical, and everybody's healthy, and they are who they are. If teams go through a mess like Penn State did last year, where, you know, they lose a double overtime game to Oregon and then go to UCLA and lose.
Okay, I'm looking at a way too early top 25 for next year. Where do you think Alabama is ranked? On just this random one on ESPN.
Top 12.
10? 12? Yeah, somewhere in that area.
I'm going to go 9.
I think that's a little too high.
They are ranked 16th.
Oh.
Wow. Talk about a fallen from grace.
Well, suddenly, of all schools, Alabama can't run the football.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Had to be O-line situation. And, like, in the biggest games of their year, their offense became one-dimensional. Like, it's just hard to imagine. But, and by the way, who's quarterbacking them this year?
And nobody knows.
Austin Mack.
First-year starter, again. So I understand maybe where that comes from. Now, Alabama's the real interesting one. I'm glad you brought them up. Because you would think of all schools, if they walk out to a pre-SEC presser and somebody said to Kalen DeBoer, hey, what's the standard here at Bama? What's he going to say? It's to win every game.
But
and then you'd follow up with, is that realistic this year with a first-year starter and a team that ran the ball for 3 yards a carry? Like,
that's fair.
I think it's just cliche sometimes, but I don't think it's cliche at Ohio State.
No, Julian Sain is not saying it in a cliche fashion. He's saying it very much in a way of,
it's not a goal, it's an expectation.
It's an expectation, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Without a question.
I don't even know if Indiana's saying it, and they want it all. Signetti might, but it might not be realistic. people at Indiana could say, hey, our goal now is to win every game we line up. Like, we feel we have the talent to compete with anybody in the country.
Well,
but it may not be.
They went 11-1 the year before.
Yeah, maybe they can say that now.
2 years doesn't define a program.
Well, the program is Kurt Cignetti, which I believe.
Does Indiana feel the same pressure as Ohio State to win every game they play now? Did they carry the same pressure?
That's a different question.
I know.
And I would say
all branches off the topic tree.
No. No.
There you go.
There's
some inside radio.
Indiana can't say that.
Indiana doesn't have any pressure right.
Cignetti might say it.
Indiana could go 1-11 next year.
The money they gave him.
Well, that's true. I forgot.
That would be.
Well, not even. But just like expectations change.
Plus, with the talent he's brought in, he lost his Heisman winning quarterback.
Okay,
realistically,
Indiana could lose 4 games next year and he wouldn't be on
their fan base wouldn't do an about face.
Yes.
They'd almost be like, wow, that was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they had an amazing run.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Ryan Day, though? Ryan Day, if he goes 8-4 next year, like, how many years did that championship buy him?
No. If Ryan Day goes 8-4?
That's the difference.
This place, are you kidding me? Have you looked at this fan base?
Let me ask you a question. Is one of the 8 Michigan? Like, one of the wins?
I don't think.
Or is one of the 4? Because, honestly, that would be the tiebreaker for a lot of people.
I don't think. Even if he beat Michigan, this fan base would not allow Ohio State to lose 4.
Not with these expectations.
How many years did he buy himself?
Go look at the replies after the Miami loss.
I don't think he really bought himself a season like that.
He should have.
Like, I don't think he bought himself a season like that.
8-4?
Yeah, I think he...
Even with this gauntlet of a schedule?
He definitely bought himself, you know...
But then the Adam Kings of the world...
win at all.
But then the Adam Kings of the world could say, hey, man, you lost to Texas, USC, Oregon, and Indiana. 3 of those teams are in the top 4. What do you want from him?
Well, what you'd want is that you were considered better than all... Well, maybe not Texas, but...
Wait, so hold on. What's your argument is that is not a good argument?
I'm saying that if he goes 8-4, you can spin it to the fan. Or let's go 9-3. Let's say Texas, Oregon, Indiana are the 3 losses. They win the other 9. That is, Ohio State standards, a poor season.
Are you in the playoff?
But I don't know.
Crazy thing is, you might be.
I
don't know.
You probably are.
If those are 3 close losses.
Losing to Texas, Oregon, and Indiana? I'm not sure.
You can kind of Notre Dame this thing. Missed the playoffs last year, so that's a bad argument.
All right,
by me.
Think about that. And the other branch off of this, if there's another one,
topic tree
is his longevity.
I just think that
hold that thought.
I'll hold it.
Yeah,
I'll sit here and I'll think about it.
Yeah, I was in the middle of a tease.
Here's my tease. Cole is wrong, and I'll tell you why next.
Beautiful. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Hey, what's up? It's
Citrus. Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
.com.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Fascinating, informative, covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
The interesting question is Ohio State on an island of their own. I think it's, I wouldn't call it unfair. That's too strong of a word. They have talent. They pay a lot for it. They've got great coaching. They pay a lot for it. They've got an unbelievable fan base that pays a lot to support their team. They've got a lot. But I could ask the same question about Georgia. Now, Georgia won back-to-back titles, and they haven't won one since 22. So the question becomes, how much did that buy Kirby Smart? It buys you serious job security because it should. Now, his problem is, in 23, he loses to Bama, and that hurts. And in 24, he loses to Notre Dame. And then last year, he wound up splitting with Bama, which is fine. And then he loses a tough one to Ole Miss. Like, they're always there. But that's, it'd be unfair almost to say to Ohio State that if they had a down year, that the place is imploding. It's not. Look what's happened to Bama. Now, Bama went through a coaching change, but when Urban handed it to Ryan Day, it's not like he was given some three-year runway to make sure everything was right. Like, it was, not only did he get handed, he got handed 7-0 is also. Like, I thought that's a lot of pressure on a guy. Not only are you handed this rivalry, but you're handed, the head coach hands it to you undefeated and says, here, take this.
I think that we need to stop. We look at college football in such an isolated season-by-season scope for coaches. And stop me if I'm wrong in your eyes. But this world, no other sport, I believe, maybe the NBA kind of does this, does the what have you done for me lately like college football. And you know what Ryan Day has done for Columbus lately? He has built them in a level of their own. He has taken Ohio State to, I understand that they didn't win the national title last year, but they have without a question solidified themselves as the sole rung at the top of the, there was a long time.
At the top of the what?
At the top of the college football mountain.
Okay.
There was a long time in Columbus where people looked around and said, how do we get to be Alabama? How do we get to be Clemson? How do we get in that tier? How do we get to be Georgia with their back-to-back? Ryan Day built this thing and took it to that tier. And maybe it's an argument.
Well, college football changed.
I
think college coaches aren't getting, I mean, first of all, the reason I used to say, people said that if Ryan Day wins at all, he might just mic drop this thing and get out of here. Like, it's just been enough to handle. Like, and then I thought, well, wait a minute, in this era, that would be foolish. Because in this era, he can actually beat Tress and beat Urban and beat Woody Hayes. Like, he can actually win multiple. He could win handfuls of titles because this isn't the BCS. You don't have to go undefeated to play for it all. You're always going to get an at-bat in this era. And any coach with talent would take that all the time. That's why all these coaches, I think, secretly love the expansion because it gets them an at-bat in the tournament. But remember, coaches in the past got credit for recruiting. They got a lot of credit for it. He's a great recruiter, or his staff's great at recruiting. I'm not saying there isn't part. There's a big part of that that's still there. But I don't think they're getting any credit for that anymore. This is about who can you buy and who can you land.
But I don't think that it is. I think that there is still an argument to be made, and I don't know why we don't have this discussion more, that in the most adaptive time of college football, in a time where it shifted, I mean, think of the team that Ryan Day took over back at that Rose Bowl against Washington. College football looks like a different sport other than the actual field itself. And he has adapted Ohio State to be almost a chameleon with every change that comes. And you could argue that no other program has done that out there. And Georgia may be right there, but Indiana found a good, like, I don't know. I'm a firm believer that Indiana.
That was an absolute miracle of miracles. That was the worst team in the history of college football that found a coach that had been passed over times.
Yeah. They found lightning in a bottle.
Three and four star players and created a chemistry and a culture right away and a belief that's never even been dreamt of before.
Well, I was going to say lightning in a bottle, but you said it much better.
It doesn't even make sense what he pulled off.
So that is all to say that this argument, and Cole, I don't want to attack you. You're a sweet man. Somebody says, I think your mother is a big fan of you, but I just can't. I can't stand the idea that, like, Ryan Day, the born on third base comment that's now 8 years old or whatever. Like, Ryan Day wasn't even born in the same sport at this point. He has had to completely shift his entire mindset.
Okay, well, hold on. So has everybody else, though.
Like, this but they haven't done it as well as Ryan Day.
Yes, they have. You're acting like Ohio State wins the championship every single year. They have one championship. Indiana has one. Michigan has one. Georgia has two. And that's just since NIL started. So all of this, and I'm not saying, oh, Ryan Day sucks. No, I'm just saying he's not alone in this. There have been three other coaches who have won a championship since NIL, since transfer portal. So, I mean, he's certainly in an exclusive club. No question about that.
I guess.
But. Indiana, Michigan, Georgia, like there have been other champions who have coached through the exact same rules that Ryan Day has. So he's not totally alone.
But so here's the funny thing. And I guess you are the exact person that I spend a lot of time arguing with about this. Is you define a good season by one thing.
No.
Winning the national title. That's it. Because that's what you just said to me.
How does Ohio State define it?
They defined last season as a devastating loss to Miami.
It wasn't a failure, but in their minds, it may have been an underachievement.
I don't have to define what it is that the program defines it by. What I can sit back and look at them, macroscopic level and say, wow, Texas would give anything to be what Ohio State is. Wow, Georgia is the closest to Ohio State. You want to talk about Michigan? That's great. Michigan won a national title. Last year, they were a disaster. They got a new head coach this year. They haven't maintained anything. They had one good season. Indiana, he just talked about lightning in a bottle. Georgia's the only comparison. So if you want, it's just two such different worlds. Ryan Day, with every swing that they have swung in the college football world, he's found a way to answer it and keep Ohio State at the top of college football year in, year out.
All right, but what you have to admit, and this has some nuance to it, is that he had a Michigan problem for a little bit. Now, the nuance is the Connor Stallions effect, for sure.
For the first two.
Yeah, and we won't have a real science on that, but we can all admit that that was a major advantage to them. That was sitting at the blackjack table, knowing every other card that's coming. That is a major advantage. And they took advantage of it. And when you have decent players, you can do that. And so he had a problem there for a while. Well, whether he could beat what is very important to Ohio State fan, outside of winning a national title, it's beating Michigan. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't do it for a while. Right or wrong, or cheating or not, he couldn't do it.
Okay.
And it was important. And so that's where he was being judged.
Yes.
On whether he could win the most important game in a lot of Buckeye fans' eyes. Now he finally has. He's turned it around. And he should continue it, probably, because they're on a little different path now. So there's a big part of that. But their expectations are, they're meeting them, but they're not exceeding them. Like, that's the problem. But that's the same thing with, he's ahead of Bama. I agree with you. He's ahead of Georgia right now. And now we get to see. You asked the question of like what that championship bought him. It bought him an extension. It bought him a chance to keep going.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think justifiably.
Absolutely.
I would argue that it didn't buy him. I mean, walking off the field at the Cotton Bowl, the replies in the comments and the fan base and the frustration, it felt like we were not to the same despair point that we were after the Michigan game with all the negative energy, but it felt like there was not much leeway for Ryan Day anymore. And the man won a national title less than 2 years ago. I mean, that's crazy.
So you're saying he hasn't been gifted the same legendary status as Urban and Tressel and Woody have?
Interesting.
That he hasn't, that's what you're saying, that's what
I'm
reading.
And I would argue, and I think,
that he should be, is what you're saying.
Yes, okay. And I think if you got Urban on here, I think he would argue that he should be.
Well, it was his guy.
That's right. Sure. Okay, put Tress on here.
All right, top of the hour, sports update, and we'll come back and we'll get a little bit into the NFL wish list, but we have to continue this. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Working your... Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. It was a big morning for the Columbus Blue Jackets as they announced the re-signing of forward Charlie Coyle. The deal is a six-year, $36 million contract. He was set to become a free agent on July 1st. Coyle had 20 goals and 58 points playing in all 82 games for the CBJ this season. The Buckeye baseball team over at Bill Davis Stadium tonight taking on Wright State. First pitch is scheduled for 6. You can hear that one on The Fan 2 this evening. The Cleveland Guardians continuing their series at Progressive Field with the Los Angeles Angels at 6:10. Slade Ciccone versus Walbert Urena, the pitching matchup. After an off day yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds start a home series with the Washington Nationals at 6:40. You can hear that over on The Fan's HD3 at 6:10. This one's sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville, or online at greenandsons.com.
Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course. Talk about how stiff his back is. Wonder how he can even make it through a hole. And then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program, Rothman and Adam King in for the Iceman today. Big shout out to my boys from Little Turtle, Ox, Max, Slaps. They did the Southern Ohio PGA Birdie Bash event yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We were up there.
Yep. And it all benefits the Children's Miracle Network, affiliated hospitals of Southern Ohio. The whole Play Yellow that was founded by Jack and Barbara Nicholas in collaboration with the hospitals. And the boys made 48 birdies at Kinsale, raised a lot of money.
Wow.
And it's a very cool event. 72 holes of golf in one day.
When do you think you would start to consider not, like, obviously in that, let's remove the charity aspect of it. If I challenge you to play 72 holes of golf in one day, when do you start to get, I'm out of here, I can't do this?
I'm on a cart, right?
You're on a cart. They did have carts.
It's not cart paths only.
No.
That would help me. And I could get fairly close to the greens, not like respectable.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely have 36.
I think it's funny because...
I don't know, I want to do more than 36.
Really?
Yeah.
I find myself... I think the most I've played in one day is 52. 54. We do it sometimes on our boys' trips. We get a little carried away. And one time we were in Palm Springs and they had unlimited play. You paid a lot of money for the first round and then you could play as much as you wanted. You just had to get, you know, back book a tee time and kind of... And we kept playing and playing and playing. I find that when I play 18 holes, unless I have something else to do, I wish there was a 19th hole. I feel like...
That's the bar.
That's correct. I feel like you have to have 3 holes that don't count. I think every golf course should be 21 holes. And the first 3 are just getting you into golf speed. You know, like, all right. And then you're out there, then you're moving, and then you're like, okay.
So eliminate all driving ranges.
Yeah.
Just start
because
with
driving
3
ranges aren't real. You know, you do something at the driving range, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm Scotty Scheffler.
Well, it has no consequence.
And then you step on the first tee.
You know how long a bad shot stays with you on the range?
About 3 seconds while you grab the other golf
That's
ball.
That's right. So yeah. You move the other golf ball. Right. And the last time I checked, they don't have trees or water on a driving range. There's nothing to feed into a bad mental.
I think you're exactly right. When you're on the driving range, when you hit a bad shot, I did that wrong, you know.
People have played this sport for a lot of years, attempting unsuccessfully to take their driving range game to the course. You can't. You can't simulate penalties. The first bad shot you hit on the real golf course that counts affects you between the ears. There's nothing that could affect you mentally on the driving range other than I probably suck and shouldn't be here.
I'll tell you this much. On the mental side of golf is the most annoying thing in any sport, I would argue. And I think if you polled guys at every level, I don't think in football you really get the yips throwing a football. In basketball, maybe free throws you could get the yips there. But in golf, once you get the yips, there's no turning back. You just hit your top one drive.
I was playing golf real fast. I was playing golf.
You were playing golf real fast, or real fast the story?
Real fast the story. I was playing
were
golf.
You playing fast bad?
Bad fast.
Other way around.
I was playing golf at a very, I was a guest. It was a very elite course, and I was playing with a guy who was very, very good.
I've played Raymond Memorial too, all right? It's a nice course.
Club Raymond to you. And so we're playing, and we were having this conversation about Tom Watson. Love Tom Watson, always have. And I was so upset when he didn't win that British Open when he was like, I don't know, 58, 59 years old. And he came down to the 18th hole. He needed a par to win, and he had an 8-footer, I think, to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no going back. And I thought, all right, if I'm that age, and this is my last best chance to win a major, there's one thing that's going to happen. That putt's going to get to the hole. Right? That's going to get to the hole. And if you remember what happened with Watson, he did not hit a good putt. Must have been 2 feet short. It just wasn't a good stroke. And I had this conversation with this great golfer. I said, I just don't understand how that ball doesn't get to the hole. Like, if I'm going to miss this, we're going to miss it making a good stroke. And he looks at me and he goes, well, have you ever had the yips, Anthony? And I go, thank goodness, I don't think I have. And he goes, well, then frankly, you don't know what the blank you're talking about. I'm like, okay, let's keep playing.
That is...
That's my yips story.
You just can't, it's accurate. You just can't overcome it. It's not something, and it's not something a driving range or a putting green is going to. I got the putting yips a little bit right now. I can't get anything everything is 8 miles past the hole is the best way to say it.
So you don't have a fear of missing then?
What do you mean?
You just have no touch.
No, I had touch, and then I started to hit it too hard, and then it was like I've never held a putter in my life. And now I like literally, like even if I just try to tap it, give it a little tap. It's like it hits the next fairway over. I'm like, what is happening?
Putter just explodes in your hand.
Yes, that's okay. It's the yips.
TNT, I'm dynamite. Yeah.
It's like, hey, Adam, that's a little 4-footer. Tap it in for us, and we'll call it a hole. Right. It's like, well, all right, it was an interesting choice to use a wedge, but all right.
So you're out there just bludgeoning it.
I guess.
Okay. All right. I don't know if that's the yips.
Maybe it is the yips.
Okay.
I thought
the yips was where you can't even make a stroke. Like it's like I can't even really.
The yips are whatever. The yips could be one time I was on the course and I could not for the life of me stop shanking the ball. I mean, it was like I was hitting the same shank and I had to get in the cart take a hole off.
The definition of the yips is a state of extreme nervousness that causes a golfer to miss an easy putt. So I guess it could be 20 feet long.
Yes,
or
it's exactly what it is. Right. And you know what? One of my best friends, he uses it against me. Right. And he's not afraid of it. He's like, well, it's an easy 3-foot putt to win the hole. You probably make that. And you know what?
It's because nobody putts 3-footers. They all rake them in.
Yeah, that's right.
So if they go in, you made it. They don't, you weren't trying. That's what I call a raker. I play with a lot of rakers. You know, they don't try to make it, but if they do, you can't say anything. And if they don't, they're like, oh, well, I gave it to myself anyway.
I did rake a putt at Mirfield on one of the par 3s.
I'm sure you did. You really? At number 4?
Yeah.
I knew it.
So here's what happened.
I don't even know if I want to know what happened.
It's funny because Dom was putting and I was just trying to have fun because we were recording it. And do we need to go?
Like you can finish your story.
After the break, I'll tell you the story about how I raked at Mirfield.
To go. Probably right now. Let's just end the show. Yeah. Do we need
all
to
right,
go?
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, Adam, what's the name of the show?
We were
Rockman and Ice on the Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The great. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And Bishop and Friends.
Your comedic timing on the zinger to Saban.
I thought we could smile a little bit, laugh a little bit. If the timing was right and coach is there, we could maybe get a smile on.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine for us today and warmer as highs get in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, rain and storms develop overnight. Some could have heavy downpours and gusty winds with lows in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, the rain should end by the time you're heading to work and taking the kids to school. Cloudy to start with mostly sunny skies in the afternoon and highs near 70 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Catch T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For we, The Fan, a perfect afternoon parlay. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, we were talking a lot about the longevity of Ryan Day and where this program is, and it's obviously in a very good place. Incredibly high floor. I mean, you threw out the unthinkable, right? Which is, you know, what if they lost, you know, three games in the regular season?
I didn't throw that out.
Oh, I thought you did.
The TLC threw that out.
I didn't mean you threw it out like it was going to happen, like
no,
it was a prediction.
Wait, you threw it out first.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I did throw it out. I don't know.
Yeah, because I was saying Ryan Day bought himself some time.
Oh, I was saying,
and then you said, not if he goes 8-4 this year.
Yeah, because the fan base will immediately turn on him, because that's what they, I mean, he didn't buy himself anything. Nobody.
Well, let me ask you a question. If he's preseason number two and he loses four games, what do you think, they're going to throw a party?
Well, no. So what I was going to say, and we didn't get to get into this, you posed the idea to me, well, give me the four losses.
I bumped it up to three.
Okay.
Or I guess down to three, depending on how you look at it. Texas, Oregon, Indiana.
Yeah, and my argument there would be, well, there's every fan in Columbus would tell you, what is he doing not winning the big one? What are they doing not? Like, yeah, absolutely nobody's going to be happy. But I think this argument, there's two different things that, and this goes back to where I get really, really, really frustrated, is that one game cannot be your defining factor, or the most recent game, of how good a coach is. And I'm really tired of that. I mean, there are people out there.
So if the losing streak would have continued to Michigan,
no,
what would you be saying?
You just used the word streak. That is a pattern of issues, and they fix the pattern. But if you, I mean, you can't just up and down, up and down, up and down. Well, he won this game, so he's great. He lost this game. I mean, they went 12-0 last year in the regular season. And the ending, you would have thought that they had the worst season ever, which is unshakable. And they agree. They were unhappy. They wanted a Big Ten title. They wanted to beat Miami and move on. But it feels like, and we do this more, as I said earlier, with college football than any other sport. It is, what have you done for me lately? And that is week to week. I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things,
Ryan, don't you think that's going to change a little bit if they expand again? Like, a loss won't be as damaging.
I agree.
And isn't now, even.
I actually think that's sad. I think you're going to lose the excitement of the regular season. I think it should stay at 12 forever.
What do you think the expectation should be then? I mean, you know, these top coaches are getting paid $12, $13 million a year.
You're having two different arguments. I think the expectation, not should be, it is inside the Woody to win every game and win a national title every year. But
that's not what his security is based on.
No. But I think from a fan base perspective, there is a genuine expectation that if Ohio State doesn't win a national title every year, it's a letdown. It's a sport where there are 130 teams.
But the 130 teams aren't at Ohio State's level.
I understand. And
you can eliminate 100 of them.
And what has Ohio State at that level? What? Ryan Day. He's built a program with Matt Patricia on defense.
I think so. Your argument today is that he's extremely undervalued or underappreciated? What is it? Because he's not undervalued. He's getting paid $13 million.
You're making it sound like Ryan Day invented Ohio State football. And I'm not saying he's born on third base. I'm not trying to do that. But at the same time, just the way that you say, oh, all that he's overcome in college football, only he can do this. But he's not the only one.
First of all.
So there's a middle ground.
I didn't say that only he can do this. I'm saying that everything with this, with college football in the modern world, there is an idea of, what have you, did you win the national title this year? No, then you're not the best coach this year. Or that, he's got a national title, and more than that, he is.
And he might win more than the other guys previous did at Ohio State.
he has Ohio State. Everybody wants to be Ohio State.
But you could make the argument, and I'm with you. He's a very fine football coach. No one's going to poke holes in that. I think if you ran a poll amongst Ohio State fans of a certain generation, and you said, okay, who's the best game coach Ohio State has ever had? Like, I don't know if he's winning that poll. He probably isn't. But it doesn't make him not worthy of what he is. So I'm not really sure. So you're saying he's either over-criticized or he's underappreciated?
I think
or
that,
both.
I think that we sometimes lose perspective on how hard it is to manage a roster and a program from almost a general. This is kind of where I'm coming from. I'm removing the in-game aspect. They are really good in-game, and their expectation when they take the field in-game is to win a national title every single year. But on the outside of that, when you look at the grand scheme of things, it is so much work. There's a reason the NFL is such a better job right now. Because college football, there are no days off. And Cole, I would argue with you that there is no one else, aside from maybe Georgia, that is continuing to keep their program at the top of the charts every single year.
I would agree with that because Clemson hasn't been able to stay there.
Alabama's gone.
LSU hasn't been able to stay there. Bama hasn't been able to stay there. And I totally agree with you that he's probably underappreciated in that
That's what I'm saying.
The floor of this program now is incredibly high.
It is.
I would make an argument that neither of you would like.
You would make it.
Because he crossed over from two schools, and people are going to disregard the first school. I actually give Kurt Cignetti credit for what he did at James Madison. Not that he did it on a national championship level scale, but he went 11-1, carried that into another 11-1, carried that into a 16-0.
Kurt Cignetti can't even. And so this is where I get this is the argument. Kurt Cignetti is a good coach. He won a national title. It's very impressive what he did. For sure. He has not carried a program though.
Indiana?
No, I think he's meaning like carried them
been
over
2 years.
Yeah.
You can't.
He got them.
Okay.
You can't extrapolate that out for 10. If in 10 years Indiana is still where they are, then yes, it's been impressive. But
what he hasn't done in your mind, he's done it even at a different level because somehow he got it done at a program that it never should have happened. Like at Ohio State, they could probably, in a way, have a lesser coach if all the talent stays where it is and they're still you could still win here.
I think you could still win here, but I do not think that you would year in and year out be the top premier program. I think Ryan Day went out there and evolved in a way that doesn't get enough credit. And in game, Cole, you can argue about this, that, and the other, whatever. But look at this offseason alone. They had problems on offense last year. What did he do? He went out and found a former NFL head coach to make sure that they shored that up. I mean, it's constantly evolving with NIL, constantly evolving with recruiting. And there's just no other program in the country that does that. And I think sometimes Buckeye fans can lose sight of that when there are every other school in America sitting there saying, how can we be Ohio State?
Well, certainly they can be a victim of their own success because this is who they are, but they also have a lot going for them, and they have the tradition of it, and they have the motivation of it, and it's the one big thing that they put all their eggs in that basket. This is where they want to be really, really great. So if he wants to pay an assistant $2 million, he can.
Because they've evolved with the times.
Yes, but what I'm saying is maybe some schools can't do that, not of the upper echelon ones, but you have to have success to be able to have administrations buy in, to have donors buy in. Like, that's what Ohio State has. They have a century of winning to feel like that this is worth it. Indiana's riding this wave. If it crashes, I don't know if they're going to be able to prop it up every year like Ohio State can.
So how many more years does Indiana have to be playoff caliber good before we can do that?
You just nailed it. You're not talking about playoff caliber good. That is not what Ohio State is. Ohio State is national championship caliber every single season. That is a whole other level.
I've said this on the program before. Ohio State, they're the Yankees.
They're
the Lakers.
Exactly.
They're the Celtics.
And we lose sight of that.
They stack titles. Yes. One is never good enough. It's when you're going to win the next one.
Yes.
I'm with him
that's
on
fine.
This.
And I don't think you have to win the championship every year. Like, you don't, because this is, like Adam said, this is sports. Like, there are other, and that's my whole point, is that there are other good teams with other good players and other good coaches. It can't just be about Ohio State. So I'm defending Ryan as much as it sounds like I'm saying, oh, Ryan Day sucked. Like, no, I'm saying there's talent everywhere. And so obviously he has Ohio State in a tremendous spot and he's in that top tier. But yeah, you don't have to win the championship every year. In fact, I think the arguments that Adam is making is actually steelmanning the argument of the lunatic fringe, because you're making Ryan Day sound so bulletproof in a way that it almost puts Ohio State fans in a position to, whenever they do lose a game, like, oh, how could you do that? Because Adam King went on the radio and said that you reinvented college football and that no one else can do it like you. So I'm actually saying, like, tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, you may be actually setting him up
for failure.
But I'm not. Now, hold on.
And I wish I thought of that two segments ago.
I'm not talking about, and we'll have Tybus in here and he can debate this with us, but I'm not saying that he is perfect by any means. I'm saying, I'm not even looking in the future. I'm saying give the guy credit for the past 8 years and how he's evolved.
Go back to the future.
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about what happens next. I'm just saying where we sit right here today. The man has evolved with college football better than any other coach, aside from maybe two
in the
country.
I don't know if he's any different than the other fan bases, necessarily the ones at the top.
And also, the lunatic fringe is going to say whatever they want, no matter what I say. The lunatic fringe just throws stuff at a wall until it sticks.
He's signed up, and he's earned the spot he's in, which carries an immense amount of pressure. But that pressure is financially supported in his salary, in his assistant salaries, and now players' salaries. Maybe better than anywhere in the country. And so with that pressure comes expectations, because of the investment that the fans, the administration, and everybody involved with Ohio State has made. So they've all made the bed together. Now they have to lie in it. Like, this is what it is. This is what happens when you get to this echelon of the sport. And so Ohio State is going to be judged appropriately. When people think they have the top talent in the country, then anything less than winning at all is going to feel like a mild disappointment, or maybe a big disappointment to some people. Now, along the way, you're going to have some great victories and maybe some disappointments. That's sports. You can't be great every single weekend. Sometimes you find a way. And I think that your whole argument is that maybe he's been unfairly pressured, or he's not appreciated as much as he should be. And that was my whole take on sticking around. He actually has a chance to cement himself higher than the guys that came before him, which is an amazing opportunity. And that's why I'm glad he stuck around to do it. And in this era of college football, he's going to have more chances than his predecessors did. Because those guys, if they slipped up, you don't think John Cooper would be clamoring for a playoff? If he could take one of those 90s teams and get a second bite at it, like Bobby and I talked about it yesterday. You know how rare it is for a team to be that good and be that doubted at the same time? And that's exactly what Ryan had, and then he turned it into something, to his credit and his team's credit. But I'm with you on that there is a tinge of that he inherited the program, that he's just riding the wave of talent. I'm with you that there is certainly a tinge of that. And it's a tinge of that Urban didn't have to, because Urban came in with a whole different resume. Tress had to fight it, but Tress beat Michigan right away. And it turned and he won a title right away. And I think that's what he had earned some currency by winning early and winning often. But man, I think you're onto something, but I don't think it's going to change.
I don't think
unless
so,
he wins another one. We'll come back in 2 minutes with our friend Tyvus Powell, who'll weigh in.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more.
Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
VA benefits.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
He's the baller from Bedford, our friend Tyvus Powell. T-Bone and Tyvus in the morning, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on The Fan. My man, how you doing?
I am swell. Matt, I'm mad at y'all because y'all are late. And the reason y'all are late is because y'all sitting here arguing about Ryan Day in college.
Mm-hmm. That's accurate.
And I'm on my way from the gym, because, you know, it's big leg day. You never, ever skip leg day. So as I get done with my gym workout and I'm driving home, I listen into 97.1 The Fan, because I'm loyal, and that's the only thing that plays in my car when I'm in it. And I'm sitting here listening to you two and Cole go back and forth about Ryan Day in Ohio State and how he's setting him up for the lunatic fringe and all of this jazz. I'm just like, y'all hilarious.
Do you think that Ryan Day still has something to prove to people, or has he done that and now the rest is gravy?
Ryan Day, what Ryan Day has to prove to people is that he can separate himself from Urban and Jim Trussell. Why do I say that? I mean, Jim Trussell won a ring here. Urban Meyer won a ring here. There's only been one coach, I think, that's won multiple, and that's Woody, if I'm correct, right? So he's got a chance to put himself in that one. And if I'm him, that's the motivation, is how do I separate myself from the other ones? Because, you know, we've seen people win a championship. We've never seen them win multiple championships outside of Woody. So therefore, he's got the opportunity to do that, and that should be the motivation.
And that's why I'm glad he stuck around, because now in this era, he has an incredible opportunity to do that, where maybe the other guys didn't have as good of a chance. And if we're going to expand again, and you keep getting this talent, then you'll always be in the tournament. When you're in the tournament, you have a chance. Let me ask you this. What is holding people back, if anything, with Ryan? Is it the climbing out of the record against Michigan? Is that the only thing it would be or could be?
Yeah. I mean, that obviously is one thing for him that's probably still something he wants to correct, to have a winning record against a team up north. I think that's one. I mean, the only other criticism that he's ever really gotten is that he inherited a team from Urban Meyer that was successful. Like, that's about it. But I think maybe because we're so far removed from that era, I mean, yes, he still got some of the coaches like Coach Mick and Pamponi and them, but, you know, a lot of the coaching staff has changed. The further he removes himself from the Urban Meyer, like, the better it seems that he's off is as a coach. So I don't really think that's something that's hanging over his head, but that was something early on, is that he inherited such a good roster and such an Urban Meyer coach team.
Julian Sain told On3 that the standard here at Ohio State is to win every game, and that would make sense. It's not a goal, it's an expectation. Some teams talk about winning every game as a goal. Ohio State doesn't. They expect it. How many programs can say that their standard is to win every game?
Well, I would say it's only... It depends on the team. I feel like year to year it changes. You know, you got teams like Oregon who probably look at it like that. A team like Texas that'll look at it as that way. And maybe Georgia and Alabama. I think that would probably be, if you're looking at this upcoming season, that'd probably be the handful of teams. Notre Dame probably holds himself to a high standard like that as well. Outside of that, I think everybody understands that college football is a totally different day and age. I mean, there's so many teams that's good one year and then fall off the next year. And I'm with Adam on this, on the fact that it's Georgia and Ohio State that's been the top two teams over the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, has remained consistently at the top.
Well, you just kind of took my question from me here, and I'll ask it. My argument, it was a long walk for a short drink of water, but it was to say that Ohio State, for at least right now in college football, Ryan Day has elevated the program to the top of the sport. Simple enough. Do you agree with that sentence?
I think Ohio State's always been at the top of the sport. I think he's done a great job of maintaining it there. But I think Ohio State, from what Urban did, from what Jim did, even Coop, I feel like Earl, all of them, it's always, Ohio State has always been a top program, no matter who's the coach has been. Ryan Day has done a magnificent job of maintaining it at that level, which was the goal. I don't think you could really raise it much more than where it's already been.
Hang on 1 second. You would say if Ryan Day had 7 straight years of 3-loss regular seasons, I don't know if you would say that. Like, that's what Earl had. Coop lost 4 games in a year a couple times.
But Ohio State was still a top program now.
I'm not saying a top program. I'm saying the top program.
Like, I thought they were a top program. They're finishing in the middle of the Big Ten.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Talking about in the past. Like, I think the expectations have, the realistic expectations have changed. Maybe there was more parity back then. Maybe the game was different back then. I don't know, but I'm just telling you that before Coop started getting his 10-1, 11-2, 11-1 seasons, they were losing 4 games and 3 games and tying games, and it really only mattered about beating Michigan and could you win a bowl game. Like, expectation was different.
Let's take it past. All right, well, let's take it to Jim Trussell and beyond. It was always looked at as a top and maybe the top, right?
Well, I think Tress got it out of the doldrums right away by, going undefeated in his second year. So the expectation after that was set, even though he did have a 4-loss season a couple years later. But between Urban and Ryan Day, like, they've never lost 3. To my recollection.
I would look at it as he's done a great job of maintaining it there. If you want to say, like, I think what I would agree with you on this is that I don't know how many coaches would be able to handle the change of college football the way Ryan Day did. Mm-hmm. That I will say, he has been one of the best coaches I've seen adapt to this different style. This man has coached literally in about 3 eras of college football in his 1 tenure at Ohio State. I mean, he went from pre-NIL, pre-COVID, all of that to now.
Transfer portal.
Transfer portal, all of that. I don't know how many coaches, because you see coaches is jumping ship. There's a lot of coaches that's like, I'm out of here. You got Nick Saban retired. You got Jeff Hafley took off to the NFL. So you got examples around college football that says that Ryan Day has done an unbelievable job of being able to maintain those things. That I will agree with you with. But as far as Ohio State being the top or one of the top, it's always been that. Me personally, that's always how I feel.
Well, I appreciate the agreement. I guess more so, I and we've belabored this point, I think, a bit here, but I would even argue once Tyvis Powell left the program in 2015, they should have won a national title. I think, Tyvis, do you agree with that?
No comment.
That's right. After that, it went. So in 2015, it went Alabama, 2016 Clemson, Alabama 2017, 2018 Clemson, 2019 LSU. Ohio State didn't play for a national title for 5 straight years. So you couldn't argue that they were in the top. They were a top program in college football, or the top program.
How many times did they make the CFP in those years?
Well, they lost
3, I think.
Yeah,
one with Urban after you, and then a couple with Ryan.
Yeah, and so 2019 was the year they probably should have been in. But my point is that he took them from right as a group to the top. I understand when you were there, I mean, you had him at the pinnacle of college football, because that 2015-2014 year felt like the start of a dynasty, and then just, sadly, Michigan State in that cold night.
I get it.
I thought he was talking to his kids. He's talking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thanks.
I don't need you.
Yeah, you're right. That's my fault.
I moved on.
So moving on from this point, as you said, Tyvis, I do want to ask your thoughts on the new black jerseys. And they did you didn't have black jerseys when you played? Is that correct?
Yes, we did. We had them in 2015. It was by far the worst game I've ever played in the Buckeye uniform. I went against Saquon Barkley, Penn State, true freshman against true freshman Saquon Barkley, they had on all white, we had on all black.
Oh, yes.
It was the first time Ohio State wore all black, and it was by far the worst game. If anybody ever want to watch the worst performance of Tyvus Powell, go watch that game right there, because I missed every tackle on Saquon Barkley, and I got hurdled by Saquon Barkley. So there you go. I hate those jerseys for that reason, but the ones that they debuted look absolutely sweet, and I pray nobody gets hurdled.
My favorite is, first of all, yes, the second you said that, I looked at the pictures.
So the blood on the leaves was yours.
Wait, that would have been the first blackout game then, would it?
Correct.
Yeah. My favorite is if you Google 2015 Penn State, Ohio State, there's the first image that comes up is a picture of Saquon Barkley celebrating and Tyvus Powell angry. That is absolute gold.
I'm glad that tickles you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, he just talked about moving on, and now you brought him back.
I didn't know he had the traumatic game in that jersey. You guys just got a ring.
You guys, number one that game?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Listen, we won the game. That's the end of the day.
Right.
That's what matters. I can tell you for a fact that I wasn't the only one that struggled. Raekwon McMillan, I'm throwing him under the bus. He struggled too.
I think we've just defined Ohio State football. You beat a team 38-10, and you've remembered it like it's the worst game in history.
It was the worst game. For me, it was.
It was a dark night in the shoe.
But you do love the new jerseys?
I do. I like the gray on the sleeve and all that. I actually like those better than the ones we wore. The ones they got is sweet. I actually need to go see if I can pull my Buckeye card to see if I can get one.
I like it.
What, to just wear it around or what?
As long as it's a pile and 23 on the back, I will wear it.
Okay. All right, my man. This was good. I'm glad we took you down memory lane. Yeah. It seems like it was very therapeutic for you.
Adam likes to pick at me and bring up old bad memories. 2015 was just not a great year for me in general, I guess. The only good thing about it is I met my wife, Laurencia, that year. So there you go. Go Bucks.
Buried the lead.
Weren't you the MVP?
At a bad football game and met my future wife. That seems like it's in the wrong order.
Then I went on, and then the Seahawks released me twice.
Jeez, we don't really like.
I think I asked you that on the air once, not twice.
No, go. Dylan loved to play that song.
Okay. All right. We'll let you sign off, my man. Get back to wrangling the kids.
Leg day. Never skip a leg day.
I'll see y'all later. Go Bucks. Go Browns. Go Cavs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's the hurdle. Jacket. Just saw the hurdle.
And go guards. Free Clase till it's backwards. He's innocent. Take or
the Seahawks release you twice.
love you, man.
See you, pal.
Y'all. See y'all later.
See you, man.
He loved you for playing it, but not me for saying it. All right, I get it. We're going to come back with the Buckeye Bulletin. The Big Ten opponents for Ohio State basketball. We'll check out this little roadie action next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
There's an old story about...
with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good days, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
24. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, Buckeye basketball. Big Ten Conference announced today the expanded 18-team league is going to play 20-game schedule, 10 home, 10 away. All right, let's go through some of this. They can get Iowa, Penn State. They're going to get Michigan twice. They'll play the rest of the conference just one time. So that's good and bad, right? You want to play a rival, but they've been very good. National champs, good.
They did not get a very good home slate this year.
The home-only games.
They got one good home game.
All right, name the home-only games.
Maryland, Michigan State,
okay,
Northwestern, okay, Oregon, Rutgers, Washington, and Wisconsin. I would say they have two good home games there with Michigan State.
Two of those teams made the tournament, Wisconsin and Michigan State?
And those are the only two. Then you go on the road. You have to go to Illinois, to Indiana, to Purdue, and to UCLA and USC.
Wow.
That's it. Plus Nebraska. Nebraska pretty good this year. Minnesota. I mean, that's a tough road slate. Boy, I think they lost the schedule draw this year.
Well, I don't even know how to look at that, because obviously the goal is to get in the tournament again and this time make a leap, but that's the way it is every year now going forward. Jake knows that. Like,
well, the problem is, and this is an argument in its own right, I think coaches across the country have to be livid that they've expanded the tournament, because it completely changes the outlook of kind of job security.
We'll get to that in the third hour.
Oh.
We actually have that slated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great minds, except
bad preparation on your part.
You know what? What I like to do is come in here and just completely talk.
Preparation
I don't age. Like to read. I just like to come in here and answer your questions. My computer is now frozen. I can't unfreeze it. It's frozen on Saquon Barkley running away from Tyvus Powell. It's pretty great.
Maybe you ought to send him a still shot.
I did.
Did you really?
Yes. There we go.
I think Ohio State, a couple of those teams you mentioned on those roadies, like, I think USC should be a little better. Indiana should be a little better.
Yeah.
They put a lot of work in that portal, man.
They have to be.
Like, they're feeling pressure to get basketball back. And UCLA, they were tough at times.
Right,
Nebraska certainly made. Are you saying they're going to Nebraska?
Yeah.
There is not a
gimme road game. Illinois is going to be, I guarantee you, a top 15 team. Indiana, like you said, going to be back. Winning at Minnesota hasn't been easy in years. Nebraska playing really well. Winning at Mackey's one of the toughest in the Big Ten. And then UCLA and USC both. Wow. I mean, now, you counter that with, you get Maryland at home. That's a good opportunity. Northwestern, Oregon, Rutgers, and Washington. That's five games that you probably should win. If you can steal one of the Wisconsin, Michigan State, you're probably pretty good.
This is going to be about how good is Anthony Thompson right away, and how much does Bynum take a leap, and what he can do in his post game and all that. We know he's a high flyer. We know he plays above the rim. He's physical. But you lose Bruce. You're okay for right now letting Royal walk. And so they've invested in other areas, try and hit the portal. I don't know if they've made a major leap, but there's a little momentum they were riding from last year. We'll see if it can continue. It's like football. This stuff is year to year.
I
don't think they go into camp thinking, oh, okay, we made the tournament, but they've got to up their game now moving forward, because I'm not saying there's a pass here, but they've hit some expectations of ending the drought to get in the tournament. Great first step. You cannot take a step backward.
I would argue, and this is, I'm looking at this from a complete, removing last year from the, I mean, obviously judging the players, but like nothing to do with making the tournament. This roster setup is probably the best the Buckeyes have had in quite some time, with Mobley, Bynum, and then bringing in Anthony. I think it's, hold on. Trying to think of who the center. They just got a center. What was his name? Cole? They just got a center from overseas.
I don't know how impact it is. I don't think anybody really knows.
Reimer?
They did. They got Jacob Reimer. And you get Yegabon to come back.
Iron Hog?
Serbian.
Okay.
Duke Laza Rivic.
That's why we didn't mention it.
I'm just waiting for Reimer to text me.
You don't know him, and you don't know how to pronounce it.
Well,
I get it. I'm not faulting you for it.
It's a 7-foot.
Just faulting you for actually bringing it up.
Come on, man. Well, we're broadcasters. We're supposed to know all the workarounds when we don't know stuff.
Well, I'm okay with admitting I don't know how to. I've never met the man. That would be the first question I ask him. You know?
What is your name?
Yeah. How do you like your name to be pronounced?
I mean, did they spend on that veteran point guard they really needed? I don't feel like not yet. I mean, they have a starting center need. That's a need, what you just brought up. So I really don't. Does anybody listening feel like they know what Ohio State basketball is going to be this year? There's a great feeling that there's momentum in the program, but you have, they didn't bring Anthony Thompson in to sit on the bench. He's going to play. They're going to need him. But you had a pretty high floor with Bruce. He's gone. You're probably okay, even though you would have had the experience of a guy being in the program for as long as he was. But he became the odd man out. And because they're trying to level up in leadership and a lot. So right,
let's do this. It's May 12th. You said nobody knows what Ohio State basketball will be. How about you and I have a little fun here? And we will, loser has to buy the other a round of golf.
Okay.
I think Ohio State is a top 25 team for at least...
Preseason?
No. Okay. For at least 10 weeks out of the year.
Ooh. All right, just to be different, I will take the opposite of that. You'll have to track this.
You think over, under? You think under?
Well, I have to be opposite for the bet to work.
Yeah. Do you disagree?
I feel fairly comfortable that I have the favorite.
I would argue that too.
Okay. So what do you think they're going to be preseason Big Ten?
Fifth? Yeah.
Oof.
Maybe sixth.
I think that's high.
No, I think you're severely underestimating the return of... I mean, there's an argument to be made that they have two of the best players in the Big Ten returning.
Mobley and Bynum?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying that,
And if Thompson comes in and is everything...
Mobley took a bigger step than Devin Royal did.
Yeah. And if Thompson comes in and everything he's supposed to be, I don't know. I think your only question is down low, and they get,
All right.
I'm excited.
How many weeks did you say?
10 weeks. I'm excited for you to buy me a round of golf.
And there appears to be 21 weeks of ranking, so
there you go.
I still think you're in the driver's seat.
So they have to be in the top 25
10 times
in the regular season.
Yes.
Okay. Each week when that comes out, either one for you or one for me.
Deal.
Okay, done. We come back top of the hour, and could the Cleveland Browns be the team based on this? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, the Fan.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
5.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The Cleveland Guardians look to make it 2 in a row over the Los Angeles Angels at Progressive Field tonight. Slade Ciccone makes the start for the Guards. Walbert Urena for the Halos. First pitch is at 6:10 up in Cleveland. After an off day yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds starting a home series with the Washington Nationals at 6:40. Brady Singer versus Miles Michaelis, the pitching matchup. You can catch that on the Fan's HD3 at 6:10. That's because on the Fan 2 tonight, we've got Buckeye Baseball taking on Wright State. First pitch scheduled for 6. First, it was Rick Bonus. Today, it's Charlie Coyle. The Columbus Blue Jackets announced the re-signing of the forward to a 6-year, $36 million deal. Coyle played in all 82 games for the Blue Jackets last season. This one's sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
All right, final hour of the program. We will get into the Jackets re-signing Charlie Coyle in a moment. I did take a look at a all too early top 25 in college basketball, and you are just on the outside looking in. So it was probably a good bet, fairly even bet, that the next five would be, Ohio State would be involved in that. I do expect Indiana to be a little better. Purdue certainly will be there. Who else? Iowa will be there. Nebraska should be good again. USC, I think, will be improved. Michigan State will always be there. Who else? Illinois, you mentioned, going on the road. Michigan, the national champs, they'll be top five. So the schedule may be in my favor for Ohio State not to be a top 25 team 10 weeks, not consecutive weeks, but just 10 weeks. But I think it's a fairly good bet now that I look at it.
Well, I was going to say, if you want, now that you've seen it, we can up it and you can just take me to dinner at like the refectionary if you want. Or
the refectionary.
Jeff Ruby's.
I think it's the refectory.
No, the refectionary.
Where's that?
No, it's the same place.
Okay.
Maybe
you like
Jeff
French?
Maybe Jeff Ruby's.
You and me? French restaurant together?
I mean, okay.
It seems.
All right. We can invite Cole. Three. Is that better for you?
I'm already taking these clowns to dinner for losing the home run draft, probably.
Where are you taking them? Where are you guys going to dinner?
Well, they don't know yet. They
I don't know. Kyle Schwarber's might be carrying you
in. Which is single-handedly keeping my team afloat, but either way.
Can I recommend Butcher and Rose? You ever been? Very nice.
I have not.
It's delightful.
I think he just asked if you would accept this rose, is what he asked.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I think that's what happened there.
The Bachelor?
Wait, if we're going to up this bet to dinner, then you need to up your weeks, the top 25. Did you just level up from golf to dinner?
I'm sorry. You think
you're going to be hungry after 4 hours on the course.
Let me get this straight. You think taking me to play golf at Scioto Country Club is cheaper than...
I'm taking you there.
I
have no access.
Oh.
He's hosting you at the Turtle.
You're hosting me at the Turtle?
Yeah.
I've never played at the Turtle. All right.
Good.
We'll keep it at the Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 15 weeks, I get dinner too. And a hot dog at the Turn.
You're willing to upgrade it to 15 weeks?
No. We're sticking with our bet.
Okay. All right. Well, then there's no dinner.
I mean, you could just be a nice guy, Rothman. All right? You could just offer to buy dinner.
Lunch at the Turn?
Yeah. Gosh.
Hot dog at the Turn?
Yeah. I'll take a brat at the Turn and we'll call it a day.
All right. What happens if I win?
I didn't even know. We didn't really establish
that. Yeah, I was going to say.
Where's your home course, Kinsale?
Why is this automatically a win for you?
If you win, I will take you, to Club Ramon.
A nice meal. All right. This is lunch at a coffee shop.
Rusty Roters does make a good point. Maybe the worst part of this bet is that you would have to spend time with me.
You can prove that, Rusty. I think that he actually can prove. Well done, Rusty.
Rothman, 207. Mention to the chat. How are we doing on our bets?
Oh, yeah. We had some prop bets on you today.
First of all, I love the chat. So
the prop bets on you were this. Your arrival today was set at 11:47:30. I actually took the under, thinking you had to work today. You might want to set up your day a little bit and see what you got going. Guess what? He won. He took the over.
Guess what?
He got here until midnight. 53 or something. The other prop bet was that you would have to attend to something on TV that would affect this show in some way, shape, or form.
No, we're pretty good on that. So you
the
won
guy
that
said
bet.
No, and I think
you. Well,
I think we both said no.
The chat was going to be mentioned at some point. Did he mention Twitter today?
Probably.
I don't.
Twitter. No, because that's the first time we've heard that drop. Okay, I have not mentioned Twitter.
I don't think he has.
Wow.
Did you make any comments personally towards Cole?
Yes, that was at 12:08.
Okay, yeah, so that hit the over.
Yeah, it didn't take much from
me. And I lost this one. I thought you'd be walking in with a Starbucks in hand.
He had no coffee in hand, so I won that.
But he actually did have a coffee when he came into the studio. But the bet was that you would arrive pregame with it.
That's interesting.
When he walked, when you walked down the hall, and I said, "I just won another bet," and you're like, "What are you talking about?"
The Adam King prop bets. Our bingo card.
Well, just to reiterate, we do read the chat, and we do love how much the chat loves me. They don't like you very much. They don't like the beard. They asked that you shave the
beard.
That's
fine. I'm waiting for Vegas to get knocked out.
They said he looks like Jim Knowles.
That's fine.
You do kind of look like Jim Knowles. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. How was Tennessee?
It's fine.
How was Penn State?
It's coming. It's going to happen here. It went USA win gold.
Okay.
All right, they did. I kept it. Then I went to Jackets.
Okay.
Got to have a playoff beard if they make it. They didn't make it. Torts gets the job out of nowhere in Vegas. So I said, all right, I'm going to ride that playoff beard. We'll see what happens. They got to win tonight. A lot of people are saying this is a classic overpay by the Jackets on Charlie Coyle. I love the player. I think that helps. I also think that this could be the next GM's problem, which is okay. I also think this is a check every box kind of a signing. Would I want him for 6 years at age 34? No. But I think this is the price of doing business for a player like this. I really do. He's a leader. He's durable. He's a line two, line three center. He's going to be great in the room. And when you may not like it, and I say may, is in the last couple years of the contract. Well, that's fine. If he's your next Boone Jenner and he's making $6 million, it's not awesome. But they got it done, and he was a priority. And Charlie wants it done, and he got it done. And now he knows they're good and they're moving forward. This is, unfortunately, sometimes the price of doing business with every organization, not just the Jackets. Like, they're not in a total rebuild. Well, and you know what I mean? So there's certain things you have to do. They have a ton of cap space. And it's not like the team, it's not like this puts the team in a horrible spot. Like, he's important to their depth. Everybody knows that. He's not easily replaceable. And if he was, then you got to ask your question, who can they get? Who's available? What does that person cost? Like, this isn't just not signing him and going out and getting someone at half the price who's just as good. Like, that doesn't happen. So a 6x6 is, okay, so we may not like it in the last couple of years, or they may not. The first three or four, this is going to be fine. He's a perfect second, third line center. He's a beast. This is what he was in Boston behind Krejci and Bergeron. Like, this is who he was and who he is. I love his durability, and he's a great dude, and he's going to be a great leader in that team. They're bigger now, which is good. And, you know, when you find a player that's happy here, who's talented, who's can fit your team and provide you that depth, you got to sign him. And they did. He played every game for them this year. So the only question you'd ask yourself is, do you believe in re-signing a team that didn't make the playoffs? And if he asked Rick Bonus, he'd say, I need him on my team.
I think Rick Bonus would tell you that you're not re-signing a team that didn't make the playoffs. You're re-signing a team that missed the playoffs by 1 point with him.
We're better with him.
Yeah. And so, you know, he only got half a season. Let's see this whole thing play out. I think the biggest takeaway is cap space, really. I mean, they have the money to spend. Why not spend it? And I love we talked about it earlier in the show. It, you know, we'll deal with that problem in 6 years. Right now, we're focused on winning next year.
Yes. And there are certain contracts that won't age well. This one may age okay. He's not going to get faster, but he's a very, very solid player.
You've aged well.
Yeah, thank you.
So, I mean, that gives them
I don't have to skate. All I have to do is talk. And the last time I checked, you don't have to be young to talk sports, just to play it. So the 6 years at $6 million, I mean, I thought maybe it'd be like 6 years at $7 million. I really wasn't going to like it, but he's a beast. And would I love to have overpaid him on a shorter term? Ideally. But his camp probably didn't go for that.
Yeah, because you want job security. You want job security.
That's right. And the guy that probably...
In this economy, 7 years, 10 years, come on.
So Charlie Coyle is signed. He's a Jacket, and I think you're going to be happy you have him. And if he's somebody else's problem 4 or 5 years down the road, maybe that... And they're good now, and they make some moves, and they build around this.
You know what else happens in 4 to 5 years? The cap space rises.
That helps, too.
So
that helps, too. What I want to get to next is the expectation for the Cleveland Browns this season. And with the leaks in the schedule, they may actually be expected to do something. We'll get to that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's a...
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine for us today and warmer as highs get in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, rain and storms develop overnight. Some could have heavy downpours and gusty winds with lows in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, the rain should end by the time you're heading to work and taking the kids to school. Cloudy to start with mostly sunny skies in the afternoon and highs near 70 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Rockman and Ice present Tree Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
Hi, this is good news for the Browns. Of the 10 easiest schedules on paper in the NFL this year, they have the easiest.
Hit me. I haven't seen it.
So the winning percentage of their opponents from last year adds up to 430.
That's pretty good. That's just what this Browns team needs. The question, you know, we're going to have this deep discussion. I understand we have to, but can we really have this discussion without knowing who's going to be under center?
Yeah, because we know they have the easiest schedule, so they're going to benefit from that for sure. I mean, I don't think anybody's, I'm not sitting here saying they're going to the playoffs, but I actually like their position better than the Steelers right now.
Okay, if I, using this schedule, Deshaun Watson, like in your eyes right now, what is his ceiling? What is
that he could lead them to the playoffs?
You think that's still in play?
It's possible, yeah.
How? What has given you?
Okay, they couldn't eventually with this schedule and his health.
I mean,
and if some of the receivers click. Couldn't get them to a wild card at some point here in the next couple of years?
You know I'm a big Tiger Woods fan. And obviously things have happened.
You said you've always admired him off the course.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about his golf.
That was good. I have long said that I still think he wins another major. And somebody...
Still?
That? Okay. And somebody recently said to me, what in the last 5 years has given you any indication to believe that he would ever even compete in a golf tournament again?
Rossman, he's competitive on the roads.
I would say to you, what in the Deshaun Watson era of the Cleveland Browns has given you any indication that he would not only have the capabilities of leading them to the playoffs, but let alone four wins?
Yeah.
The man hasn't played football in 2 years.
It's not a bad argument you're making.
I mean, and in that case, if they're,
they were 5-12 last year, and I don't think that it would be impossible for them to improve by three wins. Like, that's all I'm saying.
They
got a new head coach. They've got new coordinators. I'm not saying, so there's a variable there, but they've kind of overhauled
a new quarterback,
their offense. Well, either they have a new quarterback or an old new quarterback, or they're leaning into the young quarterback. So,
Deshaun Watson didn't lean them into the playoffs when things were going well. When he was playing at his...
He's a new man.
Okay. All right. This conversation,
What do you think their record's going to be? You've seen their... You don't have their exact schedule the way it lays out.
Here's my whole problem. Right. Here's my whole problem. Todd Monken came in with the aggressiveness to want to take this team to that next place. To that, you know, they want to be a playoff team. He thinks he's the guy. You cannot come in and have any conversation about schedule or strength of schedule or this team or that team and put Deshaun Watson under center. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. It all goes out the window.
I'm going to want to argue against myself here. I'm the one that's actually been saying that it's counterproductive probably to play him. Because you're actually rooting for something that you hope never happens, which is that you have to pay him a lot of money again. So he'd have to exceed expectations for you to want to re-up with him. I fully admit that.
You think if he leads the Browns to the playoffs, you think that he is owed a good chunk of change?
I'm just saying, if he leads the Browns to the playoffs, then they probably feel they have a future with him still at age 30 or 31. That's what I would be saying.
This is, without question, the most disastrous trade in history, and somehow every day it gets worse.
They want to rescue it somehow.
You know what? It almost gets the ultimate worst because you're sitting here talking about them having one of the easiest schedules, and they can't get past that trade to allow themselves to take a shot with another quarterback. I mean, I'd rather...
They drafted Shadur in the fifth round. If they hit on that, that's why I've kind of leaned into the future more than him, but... I'm pointing out is they have the easiest schedule in the NFL, and if they won five games last year, and you have the easiest schedule, wouldn't it make sense for all of us to agree that they should have a better record this year? That's all I'm saying.
I think that it's not great. But anybody that listens to this, let me preface it with it's not great, but it's better than what you got. I think you make a phone call to the San Francisco 49ers and say, where do you stand with Mac Jones? That's all I got for you. I think this late in the cycle, you say any chance you part ways with Mac Jones, and then maybe with that schedule.
You steered me into the playoffs, and that's not where I was going.
That's what you said. You said Super Bowl winning team, Cleveland Browns, and I don't know what you're doing
The AFC's a little stronger, probably. You could probably make the playoffs in the NFC with, I don't know, 10 wins for sure, 9 maybe, but... That's all I'm saying is they're a 5-win team, and teams with the easiest schedule have improved by leaps and bounds when this happens. By a minimum of 4 wins, and that would get them to 9.
Coach V in the chat said it perfectly. I don't disagree that Todd Monken walked in there and said that Deshaun Watson is our best option to win. That's fine if you believe that, but that means you've got to go get something else because that can't be your best option. I'm not saying that you play Shador. I'm not saying that Dylan Gabriel was the answer, but it can't be Watson. There are backups out there that are better than Watson. Go take a call the Colts and see what they're doing with Anthony Richardson.
He can't stay healthy either.
Take a swing for a small price. It's got to be better than what you're trying to trot out there this year.
I'm not putting my eggs all in the mini camp basket or whatever, but I mean, all the reports were that he looked pretty good. It wasn't real football, I get it, but that there's some hope that he could compete to be the starter again. And we've saw what he was. He's not going to be what he was years ago, but he might be the best you have. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I'm looking at the.
Your answer to my question is. The fact that the Browns, on paper, have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year, you say that equals what? Zero?
It equals zero.
Okay, so five wins or worse again.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Right. Unless
you want to take that bet?
Yeah, let's do
it. Okay. I bet they get to 6 or higher.
All right. And now, this is contingent on them not trading for a quarterback.
Okay. Deal. I'll take that.
I love it. All right. I can't wait to eat my juicy steak at Hyde Park.
He did say Hyde Park.
I did.
Fine. He can dream all he wants.
And you can come at me and say it's crazy to go try to get a backup quarterback or a lackluster quarterback. Can I interest you in Daniel Jones? Seemed to work out okay for the Colts. You know?
How big of a circus would it be if they said, hey, we're bringing back Joshua Dobbs?
What
are you talking about?
I'm not saying Dobbs. I'm saying Mac Jones... played meaningful snaps last year in the NFL and led his team to wins.
You really think they're in the market for this? Coming out of minicamp healthy and Shador playing last year?
You think they're going to bring in somebody else? I think no, and I think that's the problem. But I think if you're Todd Monken,
your loophole means nothing because that's not happening.
And drafting Taylen Green.
Yeah, and drafting him. I'm just saying your whole thing about, this is all contingent on that they don't sign another quarterback.
Well, because I don't think they will, and I think they won't win more than 5 games this year. And okay. I think we'll be sitting
that's
here
the bet.
Saying
that. By the way, that'd be incredibly, unbelievably sad. Is if this team earned the easiest schedule in the NFL and couldn't improve one win. I mean,
I
that would be unbelievable. That would almost be like, I mean, I'm not, I'd like to give Monken more of 1 year, but I'm just saying that would be quite an indictment on him just to start.
I don't see a world where they win five games with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. I don't see it.
The Patriots went from 4-13 to 14-3. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for one more win, and you're saying you're not going to be able to find it.
No.
That's amazing.
I'm out. Shark Tank rules, I'm out.
Wow. That's something.
I stand by it.
Okay.
You can get whatever steak you want at Hyde Park. Right. It's not happening.
Okay. Well, I'm off red meat, so.
And Rusty's going to be upset because now you're spending time with me twice.
You'll get off easy. You can't prove that, Rusty.
You can't prove that, Rusty.
Boy, I wonder if. I wonder if this is worth a poll, like at some point, poll master.
I mean, I don't understand.
Like, I wonder if there's like expectations for Browns improvement, or like with it being announced on paper analytically that the Browns have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. What is a realistic improvement?
That sounds like a leading question.
It was a little wordy. But no, that's where you're the master. I'm just trying to get you to the point where you can craft it.
But I still have to do our first poll about how many days you can go steal from a hotel.
Breakfast.
I agree.
With what? You said eight.
What?
You said you could pull it off for 8 days, walking into a Fairfield or a Hampton or wherever.
Before somebody pulls up to you and says, hey, can you show me your room key?
Yeah, right, exactly.
We're going to come back. Do these coaches secretly love this? We'll tell you in 2 minutes. Rothman.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
44.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Like trying to snap a picture of Bigfoot.
Nobody has ever witnessed Maddie eating a carb. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, I like the bets today. I don't like the fact that we have a long-standing tradition at this station of not paying bets. I'm still owed a Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl hoodie from CB and Maddie from how many years ago? Right before COVID. We each picked a team before the playoffs. Wasn't that their last Super Bowl? Am I wrong? Wait a minute.
No, they won in 22.
All right, that was it then. When the playoffs started a bracket, we did a little draft or whatever, and we picked teams and last team standing. And the winner was supposed to be able to go to NFL shop and say, I want this. And the other two were supposed to buy it for him. That never happened.
Well,
and then I
think you should text a throwing up Matty Ice and say, where's my shirt? You know,
he knows.
But I think right now, while he's, you know, trying to recover, he's down, he's sad,
hey,
he's sick.
You got plenty of time to get online, right?
Here's what while you're laying there on your couch scrolling through your TikTok, here's what I'd like. All right.
And rolling through the old TikTok. What do they call that? TLC, that's not a doom scroll situation, is it, on a TikTok?
Yeah, you can definitely doom scroll on TikTok, too.
Okay. 10 most expensive items on NFLshop.com.
I don't need the most expensive.
No, I mean, if we're going to swing, we're going to swing for the fences.
I'm kind of over it now. Wow. I don't even know if I want the Kansas City anywhere. Like, it was kind of the winner, the loophole was that if one of your teams won it all, then that's the gear you had to take.
Matty Ice, if you're listening, what Rothman would like is a Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, Autograph Fanatics, authentic game-used number 9 black jersey versus Cleveland Browns on January 4th, 2026.
All right, let me guess. I have no clue. That has a price on it?
It has a price on it.
It's an auction?
It's a price. Nope, straight up.
Buy it now. You say it's game-soiled?
Game-soiled against the Browns.
Game-soiled against the Browns.
Now, wait a minute. January 4th, 2026... Would that have been when Garrett broke the record? Did he break the record against Burrow? I can't remember. Who did he break it against? Miles Garrett sack record.
It took him forever to get there. Yeah.
Yes.
There was like a 4-week period where tight ends were chipping them, double teams, yeah. Yeah. And then every single broadcast was just counting down. It's like, oh my gosh, just get this over with. It may have been against my Steelers.
All right, I get to buy this jersey. I'm going to guess it's a game used. That's pretty massive. And it's signed by him?
And here you go. It is the jersey that he wore when Myles Garrett broke the sack record.
Oh, he got sacked. It's soiled.
It's soiled.
By the record-breaking sack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's got to cost at least $2,000.
You're way off.
Five?
Way off.
All right. Why didn't you just tell me?
$35,000.
That's impossible.
$35,000.
He didn't win a Super Bowl in it. That's crazy.
$35,000.
Who's buying that?
Now, the interesting part of this is
you could accidentally run into him and get a jersey signed, maybe. Well, I'm going to spend $35,000 on a jersey that he got sacked in?
Now, here's the interesting thing. Joe Burrow, that jersey, which was the all-time sack jersey, is $35,000. You can also buy, they have another one on here, signed, worthy war against the Bills. Just a normal game. Also $35,000.
It makes no sense.
Justin Herbert signed jersey. How much you think that is? Game worn. Herbert.
Cool. Look, is it the powder? Is it the
powder blue and white? Same price. You got to.
What do they call them? TLC, the Lightning Queens, or mm-hmm. whatever that girl called them in the schedule release.
Lightning McQueens.
Yep.
Herbert hasn't done enough yet. Signed Herbert. And you said it's powder blue.
Yep.
I don't know.
$20,000.
Okay. I was going to say eight.
Whoa. You can buy a Rams Super
this
Bowl
doesn't
ring.
I think you're on a weird site.
No,
I'm on
NFLShop.com at collectibles. And I've started with the highest. They're
who
insane.
Gets this money?
A Tua Tagovailoa jersey.
Him?
$12,000.
Okay. He pays you to wear it?
I guess it's got to be your bowl.
Seriously. Is this correct?
A Jackson Dart card. Rookie card.
Signed.
$10,000. Flawless emerald jewel relic.
Well, as long as we're on memorabilia, I did see that bought a Mike Vrabel football card on eBay for $750. And it was signed by Mike, and it said, "We won't make critical mistakes."
No comment.
What do you guys think of that? Now, you can't make that up.
Did Mike write the inscription?
Someone just bought it for $750.
Did Vrabel write that, or is the
card it's printed on there. It says, "Coach's quotes, Tennessee Titans, we won't make critical mistakes," and then it's signed by him in that little box that the guys sign him now.
All righty, then.
$750.
You can buy...
That's a card that lasts forever, though.
In a picture of the Tuck rule that is autographed by both Tom Brady and Charles Woodson for $2,500.
Hey, there you go. Who knew you needed that? The second highest.
By the way, maybe the worst rule in history of sports.
The Tuck rule?
Yeah, that's awful.
It really was just made up for that exact moment. Mm. It doesn't come into play very often.
That's not an incomplete pass.
That
is a fumble in every way.
When was the last time the Tuck rule came into play?
I feel like that was it 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's just one game.
But it was a playoff game.
Yeah.
It was a big game.
They
come
never,
on. That was a big shot. Movie.
That was a big shot.
I missed one shot. It's a big shot.
Hoosiers.
Tin Cup.
God, I thought you would get this for sure.
Hold on. Dodgeball.
No.
The Big Lebowski, no?
Nope.
Tin Cup, no.
Larry, I missed one shot. It was a big shot.
Is that the one with Ted and Larry?
Meet the parents in the pool.
Oh, that's one of my favorite scenes. I bet you do, Panama Red. Yeah. I say that all the time.
Yeah. Larry, I missed one shot. It was a big shot.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
I didn't.
Florence Nightingale would play a little defense
there
over
it
here.
There it is. I know that one. I know. See, right. If you said that one, I would have gotten it. And I nailed that.
All right. I want to play this from Joel Klatt. You got this?
Oh, yeah.
I think this is him explaining what I've always believed is coaches secretly love expansion because of the definition of what fans put as success.
Most, not all, but most would be in favor of a 24-team playoff. Why? Why, guys? Why all of a sudden is that to change? Yeah. It's about the definition of success. It's about the opportunity. You go way back into the history of college football. And now it feels like the way back machine. You know, you could say, well, we went to a bowl game, and coaches would keep jobs and get contracts based on the fact that they went to a bowl game. And I've talked about this a lot. And I think what really hurt college football for about a decade was the fact that it was just a four team playoff. Because the other bowl games lost their validity completely, and yet we had minimized the definition of success to just four spots. And as we've expanded the playoff, everyone's like, oh, wait, you can get extensions by being even just in the playoff consideration or making the playoff, even if you lose. Even if you lose badly in the playoff, you can get a contract extension. Now, all these coaches are like, you know, 24 doesn't sound that bad, guys. You know, heck, 24, because why? It's preservation.
It's fine. He's right. But the pressure is relentless on programs like Ohio State and teams that have high expectations. And TLC's Fighting Irish, who are going to be very good this year with a very doable schedule. Like, you can't be one and done. Making the playoffs for certain programs is never going to just be the line. It is. When you've lulled your fan base into mediocrity, then just getting a glimpse of success is enough. But nothing's going to change the hot seat for coaches, I think, when you're evaluating job security. Because guess where the pressure is coming from now? It's not coming necessarily from the ADs. It's coming from the big boosters who are holding the programs a little bit hostage, saying, wait a minute, you want another $5 million out of me? I think we need a coaching change. That's where it's coming from. The decisions are being shaped by the donations. And then the ADs have to go out there and give the vote of confidence to their coaches and all that. And a lot of these coaches, by the way, the reason that job security is fine, they'll play this game, but coaches are making a lot more than they ever used to make. And so if I get a shorter longevity in my coaching career, but I make all this money, I'll just get regurgitated somewhere else on another team.
I've got a question for you, and I don't have an answer. I don't have a defining answer on either side. Do you think that the NFL playoffs properly decide who the best team is every year?
No, but it's acceptable because there's more parity in the NFL. That the best team and the worst team, if the worst team by record beats the best team in the NFL on any given Sunday, and that happens, the collective sports world doesn't stop and spin the other way. They're like, that's just the NFL. These are professionals. It's the highest level. And you catch a team on a bad day, it doesn't rock the NFL world. It can a little bit, but not a ton.
I don't understand what would be the excitement for a team like Ohio State or Georgia or any top-tier program to want to add more teams, because it's just an extra game in which you could get tripped up.
Well, they don't really need it.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily. If it's a year, let's say it's a year like this where Ohio State has a very tough schedule and they just happen to lose two and they don't get a bye and they do have to come a little bit from the back of the pack. I don't think Ohio State moving forward, and this is a really big compliment to them, if they're ever outside the top 12, something went drastically wrong.
I agree.
At least now. And that may be unfair, but that's a very good compliment.
Yeah.
You get to 24. It's a built-in, we're in the tournament. No matter where we have to come from, we're in the tournament. And then you can manage your season better. Maybe you got a guy that's 80%, and I'm not going to play him this weekend because I don't desperately need this game. Years ago, if a guy was 70%, and you're like, hey, we got to play him. We need to win. We can't lose this game. I think this gives coaches actually a little more luxury of managing their roster because they can take a loss or two and not feel like the season's over.
I hate the 2014 playoff.
Because it's going to take the regular season and just.
I just hate it because I think every time you add a round to any playoff, you dilute who the best team is.
But eventually you get to the best team. Eventually.
But upsets happen.
We'll come back. Tell the truth next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one? Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
James Laurinaitis.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks.
like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
.com.
The Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage?
Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
TheWaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, before you take us home, let's summarize the bets.
Oh, I got the audio on both.
So the quick summary is this. Do you want to do the audio? You want me to just tell?
Yeah, I was actually going to do this anyway. So
sorry, take it away. My bad.
All right, so let's just recap the two bets that were made. Finalize these parameters. Understand them so we know what the expectations are. Here is the first one.
Loser has to buy the other a round of golf.
Okay.
I think Ohio State is a top 25 team for at least...
Preseason?
No. Okay. For at least 10 weeks out of the year.
All right, just to be different, I will take the opposite of that.
Now, that is basketball, just to be clear.
Yep. Yeah, I would not have a question if Ohio State was going to be a preseason top 25 team. And they may be. We're probably just on the outside of that. Now, preseason doesn't count. You don't get a point for that.
Nope.
So if Ohio State does get voted as a top 25 team preseason, I mean, you'll get it because they'll win their first game, and then you'll be fine.
And then you're off and running.
All right.
So. Whoa. Ross and running.
Amazing. All right, so that's a golf bet.
Now, that's bet number one. Here's bet number two. This was a little bit more contentious, and let's have at it.
The fact that the Browns, on paper, have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year, you say that equals what? Zero?
It equals zero.
Okay,
as
so
long
five
as...
wins or worse again.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Right. Unless you want to take that bet?
Yeah, let's do
okay.
it.
Okay, I bet they get to six or higher.
All right, and now, but
done.
This is contingent
on
them not trading for a quarterback.
Okay, I'll
Deal.
Take that.
I love it. All right.
All right.
Hyde Park.
Or where the winner wants to go.
No.
Oh, it's Saturday.
All right, that's fine.
You're not taking me to McDonald's.
I know you don't want to take me to some dimly lit restaurant. Yeah. That's fine.
No, I mean, I want a nice candlelight dinner at Hyde Park.
That's like
what you agreed to.
That's fine. All right.
Let this be the first Rothman and Ice bet to ever be paid off.
That's right.
Must abide by what is written.
All right. One final bet. Loser has to buy the Joe Burrow jersey on NFL Shop.
Okay, that's not happening. By the way, there's only one of those, right?
Yeah.
One of. It's the one uniform he wore getting sacked by Garrett, and they want to sell for $35.
I'm surprised it's not in the Hall of Fame.
When is that going on sale? Because they're not selling that at $35,000, are
they? I'm surprised it's not in the Hall of Fame.
It's only going down in value if you think about it.
That's right. Well, now it's going to go up because I told people about it.
Now there's a market for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everybody's running to buy that.
Driving up the attention like an NFT. So I do owe Matty Ice some custom-made updates. We still got to do that. So we'll figure that out.
What's a custom-made update?
Because of the Ravens Steelers bet.
Sometimes Cole talks.
Oh, that's right. That's another one that wasn't paid off.
Matty Ice has to cold copy some updates that
he has
I
to
write
do
for him.
Updates. Oh. Matty.
Like, can you just, is this just him doing your job? Or is this like you can make funny things in the updates?
No, he's got to be our update person during the show.
I write the funny updates for him. He has to read them.
At three times? Noon,
yes.
One, and two?
No, we will do actual updates at noon 1 and 2, but at, I believe, 12:18, 1:18, 2:18.
I think it would have been a bigger punishment to make him actually
do the real updates. Yeah, I agree.
My punishment, and I didn't win on this, was that we had to bring in some sort of unhealthy item, a dessert, something that he wouldn't eat, and that would be the punishment. That over the 3 hours of the show, he had to consume a piece of cheesecake or something.
Oh, my gosh. What a terrible life.
And he wouldn't.
Do you think that's why he's sick? He had cheesecake? He probably.
I don't think so.
He had his first cookie ever, and it
that's
really
right.
Didn't sit well.
That's right.
What a healthy man.
A black and white cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Look to the cookie.
Yeah, what a healthy man. Hey, Adam, why are you here today?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So what's the tell the truth?
Tell the truth. Should athletes and coaches be allowed to bring their kids to the podium at a press conference?
Yeah, I love that moment. What are you talking about? What, are you against it?
I believe Joel Embiid did it last night, right after, or maybe not last night, but whenever they got eliminated.
You don't like it?
Maybe it was last night. I don't even know.
Roth?
I like some of the moments that it provides. I also think it's distracting, and I think
unprofessional.
It's distracting for the athlete, and it certainly may put the media on tilt if they have to ask a really tough question while this athlete is holding their four-year-old kid or something. Like, I think it's like it changes the atmosphere a little bit.
I think it's genius for the players in that regard. You're going to ask me if I should be fired with my kid sitting right here?
No, but the kid's a shield for a hard question.
Genius.
No, that wasn't the question.
The question is, should the kids be banned?
No.
I don't think they need to be there at the podium.
I think
playing with a microphone.
Love it.
And I just think then it turns the whole thing into a little bit of a mockery.
Okay, yeah. After a loss, yes.
We're at the professional level. I mean.
Is this professional?
You like it from a TV standpoint because it provides
I like it because it shows them as humans.
Okay.
Sometimes we forget.
Well, Adam wasn't going to ask any hard questions anyway.
Oh, thanks, Cole.
You're welcome.
You and your notes written down about, what did you ask
You're
about?
You're welcome!
What did he ask about? Sports bras one time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heart monitors that look like sports bras that all your players wear.
Yeah, hard-hitting journalism there, big guy.
Are we? By the way, we have to go now.
Oh, we have to leave.
You asked that about an hour and a half ago. Mm. We do actually have to go.
Do we have
now.
To go?
Count Man and Timmy up next. Timmy out. It's 10 TV field day here at the station. Nicole Sheeran will be co-hosting. And Jason Stark joins the program at 5:30 as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Thanks for listening. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight's as man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.